Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. It's good to see those that were able to make it out this morning. All the smiling, scratch that, all the mask in place. This morning I just want to share a little something from the Word of God. It's a follow-up of last week. We were reading out of the book of Matthew. And so I would deem this part two of waking up. In the book of Matthew, the one particular verse that I had focused on was a verse found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. And it says, "But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." And this morning I want to use that as a type of an opening theme of this message. While men slept. You see, because We need challenge in our lives, and we need to know, you know, what is it that we need to be aware of? How does the enemy creep into our lives? And is it possible that we as believers are sleeping and we miss when the enemy comes in and tries to sow things into our lives and into our hearts? And so as I was studying this week, It was challenging to me, because there are areas in a believer's life that we really don't focus on. There are areas in a believer's life that we think, oh, it's not a big deal. It's fine. It's okay. You know, and so I want to make sure that we are not caught unaware as believers. You know, I mean, wouldn't you want to know if there was something on your face, if something was dirty, or you know, if you had a little bat in the cave or whatever it may be, you know? Wouldn't you want to know?
Yep.
All right. So here we are as believers in the church, and we're to be challenged. We're to be challenged to the point where we learn to check our lives. We learn to inspect our hearts. And it's not just a once in a lifetime deal. You know, so my question to you is, what would you allow as a believer? What would you allow in your life? Or what would you watch for in your life? Or what would you want to be warned about in your life as a believer? You see, we don't sin like others, or do we? You see, so we need to be challenged in that area. So this morning, let me first start off with Proverbs chapter 16. "The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So there's a balance. Let me stop there for a second. There's a balance. You know, as we commit our lives to God, as we learn to trust in Him, as we learn to focus on what His desire is, not ours, then our life is established. Our way is directed by God. In verse 4, he says, "The Lord has made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." In verse 5, "Every one that is proud in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. What is the key to living a life that is pleasing to God? What is it that we need to do in order to walk true with God? And here, when you read the book of Proverbs, you find that he's saying, listen, there is one thing that you need to do, and that is make sure that you're walking with God, period. You know, make sure that everything that is not of God in your heart, make sure you get rid of it. And there's one thing that he pointed out in the scripture that I want to bring out this morning. I'm sorry if I get distracted. I took out my phone because I'm waiting for a message about my mom. She's in the hospital. She possibly had a stroke. And so keep that in prayer.
Yeah.
I told my wife, I said, I don't want to hear any news whatsoever until after the service. So my phone just went off. That's why I pulled it out.
Good. Let's pray for
Mariah. All right. Anybody want to lead? Mariah, thank you.
Sure. Father God, we bring before you Pastor Juan. We know, Lord, what the situation is. And we just ask, Lord God, that you would be with her, that you would comfort the family, that you would bring peace upon their hearts, Lord God. Father, we know that you love her as you love each and every one of us so very much. So we thank you that you're going to be there with her, that you are there with her, and that you are with the family, Lord God. And we ask, Lord God, that there would be 110% healing, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
That everything involving the vessels, whatever, Lord God, that it would be restored and it would be healed, Lord God. We give you all the praise and glory and honor for each and every work that you do, for you are the miracle. We ask that you would be with Pastor as he continues this message. Lord God, that the words would be your words, that they would touch our hearts and touch our minds. And in Jesus' precious and most powerful name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3, verse 7. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And so the theme for today's message is pride. Is it possible that we have pride in our lives? Pride takes a lot of forms in our lives. You know, and we need to be very careful because as a believer, we can be very prideful. Now, I'm not talking about having pride in your work as far as doing something well. I'm talking about when you take it to the next level and you're so prideful that you say, look what I have done. I'm better than this person or that person. That can come into the body of believers and can destroy the body of believers from the inside out. And so if we're looking to have revival, one of the things that we need to focus on is pride in our lives. Are you hearing me? You see, because even Paul dealt with this, you know, because when it came to a point where people were saying, well, I follow Paul and I follow so-and-so, I follow so-and-so, and Paul stomped it right there. He stomped it right there. He says, no. We are following Christ, period. It doesn't matter who the man that you're listening to. We follow Christ and that's it. Because we're not going to allow this to creep into the churches. We're not going to allow this so that the enemy can use this as leverage. No, we're going to stop it right now. And even Paul, he had a chance to really allow pride to just kind of rear its ugly head in his life. Because he said it himself in the Word of God when he talked about who he was and what he had accomplished. He says, man, I am the Pharisees of Pharisees. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. But then all of a sudden reality had kicked him. And he says, but all that stuff that I've accomplished is worthless. The Word of God says that he said, I call them but dung. He says, they're worthless Because it's all about the excellency of Christ in my life. It's all about Him. You see, if we desire God to move in our lives to a greater extent, then we want to make sure to take apart and just pick apart everything in our lives and make sure that we are exposed in the light of God. Is that all right? You see, we see the story in the book of Luke of a Pharisee. Luke chapter 18, if you want, please turn there with me. Luke chapter 18, verse 11. Luke chapter 18, verse 11. It says, verse 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other one a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I want to stop there for a second. Have you ever gotten to a place where you compare yourself to another brother or sister? Well, I'm not as bad as he is. You know? I'm not... I don't do the same thing that Roger does. Oh my goodness. I'm not talking about this, Roger. Why do you guys always look? Look, you're judging. You're judging right there. That's the next message. No. But you see, we get in that mode of, well, I want to compare to someone that is worse than me. God, look at me. Look how holy I am because this guy is much worse than I am. Well, this is what this Pharisee was doing. God, look at me. I've done this. I pay my tithes. God doesn't look on the outward. He looks on the inward. And when we desire God to move in our lives, it's in the inward. When we say, God, reveal my heart so I know everything that is exposed to you. Make it exposed to me so I can see the filth as well. Yeah, try that. And see the shock of your life happen. You know, because God will reveal exactly what's in your heart. And here this man, he says, well, look, I've done this and I've done that. And as Jesus finished, he says, guess which one was more honored? It was the one that was broken before the Lord. You want God to move in your life? Be broken before the Lord. You want God to move in a way that He has never moved before? Be broken before the Lord. And what does that mean? That means that you humbly come before God and say, everything that is wrong with me, show me. Reveal it to me. You see, because when revival happens, it's because people have come to the altars and say, God, I know I'm a wretched man. I know I have messed up. And even though I follow you, I know that I am not clean. I want every part of me. And they realize exactly who they are in the presence of Holy, Mighty God. And when they're exposed to the Word of God, it affects them. Remember the little girl? There was another video where this young girl was speaking, and she says, I wasn't a believer, and I started competing in these scripture bees. And she said, about 2 or 3 years later, all of a sudden the scriptures came alive, and it broke her. That's what I wanted. When the scriptures come, when you truly understand what it is to be in the presence of a holy God, you can't look at God the same way. You can't worship God the same way. You can't pray
to God the same way. When the Word of God comes alive to you. Are you hearing me this morning? You see, this is the challenge for us. Getting rid of things that are not right in our lives. And in Proverbs it says, be not wise in thine own eye. How easy is it to think that we're here. And we've missed it. Wrote a couple things down. Pride causes us to filter out the sin we see in ourselves. And then it also causes us to point it out in others. Oh, they really need to hear this. Anybody ever said that? You see, because when the word goes forth, we're to receive the word of God. We're to respond to the word of God. It is to affect us. You're the hearers. Turning it around, now be the doers. Okay? When pride is in our lives, it causes us to belittle the struggles of others. Make sense? Well, yeah, you're there because, you know, you don't love God enough. You're there because, you know, you've been living a life, and man, but look at how I'm living. Look how I'm blessed. Look at how I am. What are you doing? Let me give you an example. Because don't go by your blessings that you are in the right standing with God. Job lost everything. Don't go about thinking that because you have all this, you have accumulated everything that you desire and want, that everything's good. Because Satan can come in and can cause you to believe that, oh, I'm fine, so because nothing's happening. Yeah, he's not going to mess with you if you're on his side. You see? So don't assume that, but we need to make sure that we check these areas in our lives. Paul, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, Paul thought that he was good. The apostle Paul, the Pharisee, said, oh, I'm doing all this, and it's good. Hey, I'm persecuting these so-called Christians. You know, I'm doing this for the church, and it's good. And it's good until God got a hold of him and says, and this is in the King James Version, you know, it is hard to hit against the pricks, is what the Word of God says. So you're fighting a battle that you're going to lose, Paul, because you are all wrong. What? But he was a religious man. A religious man. External religion and not here. You see? And so we get to a place where we think we can do all these things. You know, sometimes pride will take and it will take care of the most visible sins and leave the hidden ones alone. Are you with me? The most visible sins. I'm going to make sure that I look good in front of everyone. But on my own, I'm going to be a little hellion. On my own, I'm going to be the devil incarnate. Wait a minute. But who's watching? God sees the heart. Is this all right?
Yeah.
This is about waking up. Because too many times I've heard of stories from other pastors That they have stated, listen, I have a church full of these type of people. They're not broken because they feel that they're okay and they leave the same way they came in. No, no, no. When the Word of God goes forth, you need to leave changed. You need to leave affected by the Word of God because the blood of the Lord is on you and it should have changed something in your heart and life.
See, pride also prefers some people over others because of what they can offer. And they avoid others that they have less talent, less skills. That's pride. Because we want to be part of a better crowd.
But the Word of God says to love. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to even say that word. You know. Because I have trouble saying it when I'm talking about angel and cat. Okay. No. You see? And so it is hard sometimes to allow that to affect our lives as well. The Word of God says love one another. Well, I'm not going to love that person because he did. What is that? Pride. Pride. You see, what is the first sin that occurred? Well, simultaneously with disobedience, what is the first sin that occurred in the beginning of time? Disobedience with pride. Because hear me out. Lucifer said, I want to be the main one. I am going to be like God. I am going to be, you know, because I am this beautiful creature. Pride took over. You see? And so it started from there. And so we need to recognize that this can creep in our lives as well. Pride will take a form of, I am better than that person at playing the guitar or playing the piano or playing the drums or teaching or preaching or being a something in the church. That doesn't happen here, right? It doesn't happen in any church. Right? But this stuff creeps in. And it changes. It changes what God has ordained for us as believers. There's a couple stories that kind of relate to that. I mentioned in the past the story of Korah, in which he rose up against Moses. And he says, why does God use you? God can use us. I'm one of the priests as well. So God can use me just as much as he can use you. And so why do you always have to do this? And why are you doing this? And why can't there be another leader? Why not me? Because God had ordained Moses. Granted, this man was working in the temple. He was part of the priesthood, but yet pride had crept into his heart. And he says, well, I want that position. I want to be here. God ordains certain things. And he puts certain things in order. And we better not mess things up. Are you hearing me? And he allowed pride to creep in. This man allowed pride to creep in. And in the end, if you read the story, in the end, he was destroyed. He died. Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. God was prospering him. God was moving in his life. God was blessing him. And everything that was happening in his life kind of went to his head. He was the king at that time. And he stepped out and he went into the temple to do what the priests would do. And the priest stopped him. So you, this is not your position. This is not what you're supposed to. Oh, but I am the king. I can do what I want. I'm able to do this. Well, you know. And as the story goes, if you read that chapter, you're going to find that God stepped in because he stepped out of the will of God. God stepped in and caused him to have leprosy. And he was removed as king and his son took his place. Why? Because pride had consumed him to the point where he forgot what the will of God is. You see, we can't dismiss the basic principle of the Word of God. We can't just follow our own thinking. We can't just follow our own desires. We have to follow the will of God, period. And when pride creeps in, it will destroy not only us, but those that are around us as well. Is that all right? James chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. There's some strong language to the believers here as this was being written. And I want you to hear it. For what it's saying. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Let me stop there for a second. James chapter 4, verse 4. He says, you cheaters. What? That's what the scripture says. When you look in the Old Testament, that's what God called Israel. You cheaters. You're chasing after another God. You left your first love. Oh, that sounds familiar in Revelation. You left your first love. You cheaters. So, wow, that's some strong language, Lord. Why? Why would you say that? Because pride had crept in. And they desired what they wanted, not what God wanted. This is what Israel did in the Old Testament. They chased after other gods because of the fact that, hey, we need somebody to lead us. Hey, we need something tangible. Hey, we need something that is appealing to me. And that crept in. And so here James is warning the believers. He says, listen, don't be a cheater, basically. And he goes on in verse 5. He says, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwell in us lusts to envy? That's kind of strange. Let me ask this. Pick somebody. Oh, I heard somebody go, oh no. Aaron, would you share your husband with another woman?
No.
She said it nicely. I expect a little more. Robert!
I didn't think she married. But God does my heart.
Coralie, would you? You should ready all the answer. Would you share me with anybody?
Nope.
You see this scripture? And in verse 5, look at it closely. Because it says, do you think that the scripture says this in vain? The spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy. Now, he's referring to something. And that something is someone. You see, because when you are connected, let's take a marriage for instance, when you're connected, that's yours. And you're going to fight. I know in the past, you know, we've been walking through the store and a girl would give me the eye. I didn't notice it. But guess who notices it? And all of a sudden, everything about her changes. And she's ready to claw their eyes out. What's wrong with you? They didn't do anything. Oh, yes, they did. You didn't see that look that they give you. What are you talking about? And then all of a sudden, I don't know, the bones in the neck kind of swivel. You know, the head just kind of, I don't know how to do that, but it's just something with a woman, when they're upset, all of a sudden that head just, okay. All right. But she's responding because I'm hers. She's responding because there's a connection here. Oh, I can go on with other stories. Okay. I'll take a different route. I remember when Angel and Chad went to a restaurant. I'm sorry, I gotta say this now.
You're good.
Well, it could play against you too. There was a couple instances where a girl was giving the eye to Chad. And for some odd reason, the name of the girl stuck in Angel's head. And every time she says it, she has that little bone issue in her neck as well. What is it, Caitlin?
Kayla.
So, Kayla, if you're listening. But it's something to do with the connection, okay, that they have. And so here we see that Jesus does the same thing. He says, the spirit within you envies. There's a connection here. And it's because the word of God says in Exodus that God is jealous. Is a God of jealous God. God is a jealous God. And what is his, he will respond to. And so when we allow different things to creep in, what does it do to God? Is it possible that we put him on the cross again when we allow these things to creep in? Is it possible? Because Christ died for our sins, present and future. Right? And so, as we walk and we allow pride to creep in, the sin of pride to creep in, do we put him back on that cross? I want you just get that picture. It's not biblically sound. I want you to picture this for a second. Well, the Word of God does say that it hurts God when we sin. But I wanted to take you to a more drastic picture. That as we allow things to happen, are we allowing the nails to pierce him once again? Are we allowing him to be crucified once again? You see, when we desire God to move and change in our lives, change our hearts, we are going to consider, what type of impact do we have when we allow sin to creep into our lives? He continues on in verse 6. He says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We're talking about pride. God resists the proud. If you think that you're all that in a bag of chips, and you know what? Then you go about your business, because sooner or later that bag is going to be empty. And I'm not going to be there. But he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to those that realize, wait a minute, I'm not there yet. And there are areas in my life that God needs to deal with, and I need to give them over. And the Word of God says, and there's where grace comes in. There's where grace abounds.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. There's where grace abounds. And that's the beauty of it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, no man can serve two masters. For either he would hate the one and love the other, or he will hold on to the one and despise the other. There isn't a neutral ground when it comes to God. You're either all in or all out. Are you hearing me? You're either going to serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, or you're going to do the opposite. You can't straddle the fence. You get splinters on your butt. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I'm going to look at the church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. The church of Laodiceans, he writes, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creations of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. In verse 17, it says, because thou hast said, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. I knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Let me stop there for a second. Let me explain something. I'm not going to get too deep into it, because if you understand, if you understand the time frame of this, the church there, you know, they were dealing with the water issue. The water had to be piped in to that area, and so they had the hot springs and the fresh springs. By the time the hot springs got to a certain area, it was lukewarm. It was horrible tasting. They were in an area that was also sulfur in the ground. And so it affected everything. So this comparison, when the Word of God came to this church, they understood what lukewarm meant to them. And so here, God's Word is saying this. He says, listen, I would rather you be cold or hot, not in between. In between meaning that you think you're okay because it's lukewarm. And he says, I don't want you to think you're okay. I want you to know that you're either going to miss it or you're going to make it. Not maybe. All right? He says, because if you are thinking maybe, then you're never going to do anything about it. You're always going to be, well, I'm maybe going to make it, so that's okay. I'm all right. He says, no, I want you to know for sure. You're either going to be cold or you're going to be hot. And so he says, I want you to be in a place where you buy gold tried in the fire. What is he saying? He's saying, I want you to be like the gold. The gold, when it's refined, it is pure. He says, I want you to be like that, pure and tried. So you know exactly who you are in Christ. You see? The trials that you go through are so that you know exactly what's inside your heart. Amen?
So here, the word was challenging them. He says, you might be rich, but you're not rich in the spiritual sense. You're lukewarm. And in verse 19, he says, I come at you to rebuke you. Why? Because I love you. Why? Because I want you to change. Because I want you to be affected by what I have done. In Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Before I go there, let me give you 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. In the scripture it says, in the latter times, it's going to be perilous times. And it says, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And in that verse, I believe it's verse 3, it talks about that they will be proud. But verse 5 says this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so even during the time of Paul, he was dealing with churches that allow these things to come in. And Paul was reminding Timothy, listen, you're going to be dealing with this. You're going to be dealing with people that come in. They look good. They look like Christians, but they've allowed things to infiltrate. They allow things to creep into their lives to where it has affected their heart. And that needs to be changed. And so now on to Psalms. Psalms 139 as a closer. Verse 23 and 24. I love how this was written. Because I believe this should be our prayer. Because all of us are affected by different sins. And especially the sin of pride. And it creeps in so subtly that so unaware that we don't even notice it. But yet it puts a wall up between us and God. Because we've allowed pride to seep in. But Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You see, his prayer is, Lord, reveal everything. Try me. Put me in a place where I need to deal with something that will open up my eyes that I may see my heart. You know, the reason why I can speak this, I've been there. And if I'm not careful, I can be there. Well, I know what I'm talking about, and you need to listen to me, and you need to follow me, and you need to do what I do, and you need to, and I've got to be very careful by saying it. Because if I allow that kind of thinking to take place, it can be all about me, and it's not. As I follow God, then follow me. But ultimately, follow God. Paul said it. He says, imitate me as I imitate God. I'd rather you imitate Christ. But if you need a tangible person, go ahead and watch me.
But now I'm being held accountable, knowing that as a leader, I need to walk right. As a leader, I need to act right. And it doesn't matter if I have a congregation, a small group, a small core of friends, a small family, whatever it may be. If you are the leader, you better walk right. And don't allow pride to creep in. Because it will destroy you from the inside out. Lukewarm. Lukewarm. You hear me? And it's important. So my challenge to you is, God has touched you, God has moved in your life, God has affected you. Is there something that you're holding back where God can't take you to the next level because you haven't given that area over? Let me share something with you. Come here to pray, to stand before God. Lord, and this is one part of my prayer. If there is anything in me that is not right, reveal it, remove it. Because I can be ignorant in doing something. And many times God will reveal it and say, fix that boy. Wow. And that's where we ought to be. As a body of believers, in a place where we come to the throne room of God and say, search my heart, O God. Reveal my inner desires. If it doesn't match up to your will, then remove it from me. This is how revival starts. When you start praying like that, when you start saying, God, I don't want to hold anything back. And I know many times people do. They're like, no, this is my life. I'm going to hold on to this because this is mine. And God says, but I paid for your life. Amen. You were bought with a price. That means everything about you belongs to Him. You see? In a sense, let me say it this way. Maybe we can relate it better. I was bought. Everything about me belongs. I can't hold anything back. Well, you know, I want to. I was bought. The Bible says that we are His bride. Bought with a price. You are His. I hope that takes you to another level. Because when you realize the intimacy that God desires with you, you will change your thinking and say, wait a minute. So then He is so into me, I should be into Him as much. Amen? That He wants me completely. Why can't I give everything to Him? Because I want to do my own thing. And my challenge is, turn that over to God. And cry out to God, say, God, here am I. Oh, what a wretch am I. Change my heart. Affecting me so much that I walk out of here a new man or a new woman. I walk out of here because you have affected my heart, and I have released it all into your care. Amen.
as Aaron comes for the last song.